How fair or unfair is it to tag a guy with an ongoing reputation? Because the Arizona Coyotes are a sub 500 team since they acquired Taylor Hall before Christmas. They were very good leading up to it.
It's a tough one, you know, to take a run at a Hart Trophy winner. But, you know, Ryan O'Reilly went through that last year, wondering every time he went somewhere, the team really struggled. And St. Louis was until they turned it around. No question, both Phil Kessel hasn't worked out there, and Taylor Hall haven't provided the offense. I mean, give Arizona credit that they went for it, but it's been disappointing. They were over 500 when they got Hall. They're under 500 right now. And I think it's a little bit unfair to tag an individual, but it is something. You know, you love the guys that are winners. There's that intangible about being a winner, and you're really only 1/23rd of a team when you're there. But when you move around, and don't get a lot of playoff action, it kind of bites you in the butt.
Leafs Tampa last night. What were your thoughts on their kind of rebound? Are you almost sick of it at this point where it's they play a bad game and you're expecting them to play well, and it's just one of those things we're going to have to deal with the rest of this year?
You know, boy, the last four games, Ziggy and Scott, two extremes. Like in Pittsburgh, terrible, home, as good a home game as they have all season. Saturday, humiliating. And then yesterday, and I heard you talking about earlier that it'd be great to get 4 to 4 points, but you just really want them to get out there and compete. And that's what they did anyway for starters. I was really impressed when they got down 1-0, because that 1-0 goal against them showed all their ills of late. Unnecessary icing. You get mismatch now in the line change in your own zone. The two kid defensemen struggle handling the puck. Kapanen doesn't get the puck out, and you're down 1-0. And so, in a nutshell, those are the things that kill them. And then those are the types of things when they erase them that they come out. And, you know, after that, they played a smart game. I don't know what it is, Ziggy, about the hockey IQ thing that really is ground into every NHL player. They don't make it. But I don't know why it has eluded them of late. So that's what I found, if you're a Leaf fan, frustrating, is just the inconsistencies all around, but just the fundamental basics that seem to have escaped them. So, you know, hopefully they can get back and go on a little bit of a run now instead of these extremes we've seen the last four games.
With Gord Stellick, the host of Leafs Nation pre and post here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Gord, you've lived the life, so I mean, no person better to ask than you about this. What was your take the other day on Kyle Dubas's press conference? It felt to me like, for the very first time watching him talk, listening to him talk, you sense the frustration, but also that the glow or the shine was off this thing. Like there is now, I think, some legit questioning going on internally if the track they're taking is the right one.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I saw Scott just years ago. I filled in on Primetime Sports, and I can remember we were talking about Brian Colangelo, and one of the panelists said, "Well, what else do you want him to do?" And I'm thinking, "Well, no, your record ultimately is what speaks for you. I don't care. It's not my problem. He's got to start figuring it out about things." And obviously, when Masai came to town, we saw, you know, there was a different way about going about it to get to that next level. So I concur with you in that it's the first time. There was a little bit of, there was a lot of stark honesty about it, but this master plan is not coming together, is not evolving. And we can accept that, okay, maybe we are getting a little ahead of ourselves with expectations that, yes, there's other examples of teams that maybe it takes a little bit longer for the youth to mature and blossom. But all that said, at the end of the day, not making the playoffs is unacceptable. It just is. So you can slice it any which way you want. And if you just scrape into the playoffs, that's still not a satisfactory regular season, but it saves your season. But I thought for the first time, you know, even in his case, all he did in the summer and all you envision, more didn't happen than should have. And particularly when you're young and haven't had a lot of ups and up and down seasons along the way, it's a struggle. And I think he was candid about that publicly. And I found it interesting. It didn't make you feel better walking away about this season, but really that's what this season's all about. And he understands that.
Well, yeah, no question. I mean, they've got to get in. I don't think his job is in jeopardy, and I wouldn't even argue that it should be at this point. I mean, he's still relatively new at this, and he deserves time to adjust. What is your opinion, generally speaking, Gord, on the obsession with puck possession? I mean, there are different types of hockey that you play, as far as I can tell, within a game itself. I mean, if you and I sat down and said, would you prefer to have the puck on one of your player's sticks, or would you prefer that the puck be on one of your opponent's sticks? I would say, and you would say, and Ziggy would say, and the rest of the world would say, well, obviously we would rather possess the puck. But the best possession teams have the puck 53, 54, 55% of the time. So the question is, what are you doing 43, 44, 45% of the time when you don't have it? And then if you look at last night's game, they were, and I don't want to radio myself here and start getting tweets about this, but they actually were doing some dump and chase, chip and chase, and they were winning puck battles and cycling off of those last night. Like, it felt like they were making some adjustments in last night's game, and that maybe you can play different types of games within a game, and that hybrid will work.
Well, and a quick last thing, Scott, just you're right about Kyle Dubas' job not being in jeopardy, but also, you know, he took over at a time when Lou Lamoriello really shouldn't have been replaced. So it was a very unusual transition timing-wise. So I think there's probably a little bit more of a different kind of pressure on him that way. And, of course, what you're talking about is part of what, you know, Kyle has totally subscribed to, and totally what his reputation was when Brendan Shanahan first hired him, about those kinds of statistics. And puck possession, okay, early on with Sheldon Keefe, you saw them basically, we're not going to give up the puck regardless. And a lot of that puck possession time was in their own end. They'd make changes, you know, on the fly, what have you. And then a lot of that puck possession became turnovers, giveaways, and losing the puck in your own end. So it's a stat that obviously if you're dominating things and have more puck possession than the other team and it's in the offensive zone, that's great. But a good example was last year, the New York Islanders, who had a great year and moved from worst to first as far as their defensive record, they didn't have a great puck possession record in their own zone, but they also kept you on the perimeter. So maybe you had the puck more in their zone, but they kept you on the perimeter and kept you where they wanted to. So that's where it's sort of a stat within a stat and a game within a game. What you don't want is last night on that one Tampa Bay goal when they come in and the defense backs in, so you've given them a great spot with the puck possession and they wire a goal. So these statistics are all great, and obviously puck possession, you want it more than you don't, but there's a lot of underlying areas in it.
When I'm watching Austin Matthews last night, it almost seemed like something was off, Gord. I don't know if I'm the only one that thinks this. He just didn't seem to have his legs, looked disinterested at times, wasn't making good plays. Something I haven't seen it with his time in Toronto. Like, I haven't seen it in any year. Am I seeing things on the ice, or was he just a little bit off?
Well, he's got, you know, Matt Sundin had that kind of laid-back demeanor as well, Ziggy, like, you know, and sometimes they get a bum rap about that because I'm never really going to question about the compete factor compared to a Dougie Gilmore or a Wendell Clark or a Gary Roberts that, or Darcy Tucker that, you know, wear it on their sleeve, that it's a little bit more obvious. But, yeah, last couple of games that I just kind of said, you when you have these ebbs and flows and these extremes, quite often the teams with the great players who play great don't have horrible games like they had against Carolina or like they had in Pittsburgh. And, you know, last night it was John Tavares of those guys that really came up in a big way. So I don't know what to term it about Austin Matthews. I thought he loaded up a couple of pretty good shots. I thought he's had some, you know, good two-way play. But, yeah, but we're talking about a guy who's a star. We're talking about a guy who's supposed to bring it. And there's no question, he's up there leading among the goal leaders, so you can't quibble with him overall. But last few games when you needed him to come up big, he hasn't come up big. That doesn't mean he didn't compete.
With Gord Stellick, the host of Leafs Nation pre and post on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Gordy, I want to run you this clip. This is John Tavares after the game last night talking about Jake Muzzin's injury.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a key player for us. He's been playing great. No question, it's a big loss. But at the same time, you know, we can't hang our heads and think, why us? I think as a group, collectively, we got to all continue to step up and fill that void and continue to play better. And when guys get more opportunity, that's their chance to take advantage of it, relish it, and thrive with it.
All right, so we wouldn't be doing our job if we weren't overreacting and jumping to conclusions. But Tavares would know more, you would think, than you, me, Ziggy about the state of Jake Muzzin's hand after blocking that shot. And when he says it's a big loss for us, okay, yes, it was a big loss in last night's game, but they won. Is all he talking about last night's game? That's what I'm worried about. This team cannot at all afford to lose Jake Muzzin long term. I mean, it was already a slog without him for, what, 10 games when he blocked the shot with his foot.
Yeah, and just like Ziggy talked about the last few games, guys stepping up. Jake Muzzin, wow, has he ever stepped up in a big way the last few games? And he did last night in the two periods. So, you know, Scott, I'm hoping that we're taking Tavares's quotes in the microcosm rather than macrocosm world that he's mentioning in the third period, where they, you know, had to play Sandin and Liljegren, and, you know, guys they didn't want to give serious minutes to, how much they missed him in a tough game versus. But you got to worry about it if there's some kind of fracture or whatever. Like you think if it's something lesser, he's a competitor, would go back out there. But, you know, my fear is the worst case scenario, adding to Cody Ceci and especially Morgan Riley being out there. So that's what I'm kind of bracing myself for. But he's about as much of a guy that you can least afford to lose right now. But Tampa Bay lost Steven Stamkos last night, and it looks like he could be out for a while. And, you know, Carolina won the other night. It wasn't just goaltenders. They lost Pesci in the second period against Toronto and, you know, played without him. And Dougie Hamilton has been out for a while in the third. So there's that reality part. Callie Rosen, I thought, had been a serviceable guy for the Leafs in Colorado. He didn't get much NHL time, you know, but they've got a real strong D, Makar and Girard, some young D there, so maybe not the opportunity. So at least he's a body, but Jake Muzzin will be a big loss, and I'm kind of bracing myself to hear something like that.